Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Bringing in Roosh Williams. Noble and Roosh, the Noble and Roosh Show. You can find it on Apple Podcast, and it's blowing up. Roosh, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, you talked about some of the guys. You're out of L.A.
Right.
Right. And you've talked about some of the guys that you've had. Tell about. You've had Robert Covington. You've had Michael Smith from ESPN.
Yeah. So Michael Smith from ESPN, Robert Covington. We've had Colin Sexton, LeVar Ball, the one and only. Henry Abbott, David Thorpe. I'm probably forgetting some other names. But it's Taylor Rooks. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, we started this back up almost a year ago. If you follow the NBA, anything basketball, check it out on Apple. Subscribe, you know, hit me up. Follow me on Twitter too, Roosh Williams. It's where I post everything for the podcast.
Yeah.
So just a little bit about your background. You are you went to high school here.
That's right. I went to high school in Katy. So Taylor, Katy Taylor,
Katy okay. Taylor, yeah. Not the other Katy,
not the other
no,
Katy,
no, Taylor. No.
And then so you went to Katy Taylor. You were actually I remember checking you out some on the music scene. You're actually a hip-hop artist here in Houston.
That's right.
He's done more than a lot of people. You've got your law degree, so you practice law well. Went to UT. You went to USC for your law degree. You live out there, but you came back because you can work remotely, so you can go wherever you want.
Absolutely.
You came back home.
That's right. I missed the city. You know, so a long time ago, if you ever followed me from back then, I did a lot of stuff on the rap scene here. I mean, did records with Scarface, Paul Wall, Devin the Dude, a bunch of stuff like that. Made some waves back then, man. Pat myself on the shoulder.
Yeah, why didn't you stick with it? You had some love here in the city.
Man, because the love doesn't translate to the dollars. You know? That's why. So, and then I went to law school in USC, and I started out doing music transactions. So I kind of took that background, parlayed it into something else. And then now, as we were just talking about, I work in film and TV transactions out in LA, so...
Do you want to ask him about his hat? You already asked him about his hat.
Well, if you're on Twitch, you can see the back of his head, and he's got his hat on backwards, and he's got an Astros hat on, and you're out in L.A., and nobody's come up and punched you in the face.
No one has even looked at me funny. I wear it on purpose. I wear it to see if anyone will say anything, because I'm ready to go toe-to-toe. Like, everyone I work with is Dodgers fans, all right, period. And so I'm the guy. Like, I recently got a new gig, and I haven't quite let them know, but when I went to go kind of meet HR and stuff to pick up some forms and stuff, I had my hat on, and they just looked at me funny. They had this room of Dodgers memorabilia, and I was just like, yeah, sorry.
The enemy is here.
That's right.
So you haven't had any problems. That's good. And he's got a shirt on that says, this is my Astros and Rockets and Dynamo and Texans shirt. Any reason the Texans are last on that shirt?
It's not intentional, but if it was up to me, I might strike the Texans off the shirt at this point.
That's how bad it is. Well, let's talk a little bit. Okay. Let's start with the Rockets. That's the home team. Let's start with our Houston Rockets in this season. And we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show how this has been the worst, maybe the worst ever, maybe worse than 82, 80, you know, that team that was just awful, awful, awful.
It's the worst
awful.
I've seen since, and I was.
And then, that team had some players on it, though.
And I'm a kid watching that team. But yeah, that team came up quick, though. But they got Ralph and Dream back to back. But, I mean, this is as. This feels more like the Astros when the Astros had guys that you knew weren't going to be on a team for long, when they were in tank mode, and you had Altuve, which is your Christian Wood, and you didn't really have anyone. Like, there just wasn't guys, and you knew there were guys coming up. Before we get to NBA time, let's talk about rebuilding the Rockets, reconstruction. It was important that they were bad this year. For me, I mean, you know, Daryl Morey never let them be bad, and I think that was an edict from on high from Les Alexander. He never wanted them to tank at all. Sam Hinkie obviously had no issues with tanking. A lot of the analytics guys understand that's how you get the very best players. It was important that the Rockets tank, because if they're in the top four, they get to keep their pick. They're in position to get that. If they get that, do you have a preference? Or did you? Are you watching college basketball enough to know the top players?
I want Cade Cunningham.
You do?
I do want Cade Cunningham. I mean, he's got the size. If you look through history, guys that are impactful on the wing generally have size, right? I don't want like a 6'3", you know, has skills, tweener kind of guard. Cade Cunningham is 6'7". He's fluid. He can shoot. He can score at all three levels of the court. And I think his ability to create offense for other people is a little underrated. So I think if you get him in there and you can pair him with what they're hoping Kevin Porter Jr. can be, I would actually say I think that KPJ might be their Altuve. Maybe Christian Wood, but KPJ.
You think so? Are you okay with his maturity? Because the one thing that, you know, being out at the booby trap, being there, and this is already the knock on him.
There's a reason he's not in Cleveland.
There's a knock on him is that he's not mature. Yeah. The talent is great. What do you think about the maturity level? Because it's not like you have a PJ Tucker anymore where you got a veteran. Right. It's not going to be a veteran team.
Right. So on one hand, I agree with you, right? Like, you got to show maturity, and kind of getting caught up in that little incident with Sterling Brown obviously is not what you want to see, especially after what happened with KPJ in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we've all been 21, man. He just turned 21 like 2 weeks ago, and I always come back to thinking – I was that dumb at 21. So I have to see a full season. He did. I got to give him credit. He came to Houston. We had no issues. I think what happened with Sterling Brown was more so KPJ taking up for his friend instead of getting into like being, you know, in the actual center of that incident. And then we got John Lucas, and John Lucas is known for kind of mentoring these young guys. He's got a lot of clout in the leagues. A lot of people look up to and respect him. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And hey, the Rockets got him for free, basically. They got him for a second-round pick that I don't think conveyed or I don't think will convey. And then when you combine that with the fact that he's still on a rookie deal, the Rockets will be able to retain like ownership, right? He's going to be restricted whenever that deal's up. There's just really no downside.
So I don't know how much Cade Cunningham you watched this year. I watched a lot. I'm an Oklahoma State fan. My daughter went there.
I'm a Longhorn, but okay.
Yeah. So I watched a lot of Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham doesn't affect winning like he should. Okay. I'm about Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Suggs? Okay. The thing is, though, and I, you know, you probably watch more Cade Cunningham than me, but I just don't put a lot of stock into winning in college because it seems like it's a lot of times like Duke, right? A lot of Dukies, they do well in college, and then they kind of come to the pros and may or may not actually fulfill that potential. Maybe not recently, but in like the early mid 2000s, right? Like guys like before Sheldon Williams. Remember Sheldon Williams?
Yeah.
Sheldon Williams impacted winning a lot at Duke, and he didn't do anything in the NBA.
Nothing.
Yeah, but you could go, there's a long list of Duke players that affected winning.
Big ass head.
Yeah, I mean, let's go. Let's go to Grant Hill.
Big ass head.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of guys that
did.
There's plenty of guys that did. I don't know. I came away just. Cade Cunningham, it just doesn't strike me. Now, maybe he'll be a great pro. Maybe at the NBA will fit him a lot better. There were so many times I was just like, come on, Cade, you got to take over this game. And he just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, I want my number one overall pick. If they're going to have the number one overall pick, I want him to be a dominant
player.
But
whoever it is going to be better than what you got. Like, you just talent that's sticking around. And next year, and I think this is the good, this is why you want to hit this year on whoever you're going to get. I mean, there's not the no-brainer. To me personally, but everyone seems to think Cade Cunningham's a no-brainer. But what I do like, though, is if you do hit this year, next year you're going to have multiple first-round picks. Like, you got a chance to, over the next couple of years, you've got a chance to really build quickly. You're going to have to do a good job of evaluating because those picks are not going to, you know, all be top four or five picks. You got to do a good job. You're going to have to hit, and some of them aren't going to hit, obviously. But you do have a chance to rebuild, I think, fairly quickly if you do a good job of evaluating.
To that extent, I wanted to talk about, so we have a rookie GM. We had a rookie GM. I guess now he's going to be entering his sophomore season as the Rockets GM, Rafael Stone. One thing that he actually impressed me with was his ability to find, like, that under-the-radar talent, right? Guys like Jae Sean Tate. who I think was a steal, and the Rockets have him on a team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
KJ Martin.
I mean, Christian Wood. Well, Christian Wood. If you look at the price tag.
When they signed him to $41 million, I was like, what the hell?
But in reality, and now it was a bargain.
I wish you'd signed him to a 20-year deal.
Right, yeah. And so, and even Christian Wood, though, there was some sample of like, hey, there's 13, 15 games of like, this guy can play. Jayshon Tate coming from Australia. Another guy we interviewed on the podcast was Andrew Bogut, and I talked to Andrew Bogut about Jayshon Tate. They played on the same team in Australia.
Bogut played with Tate?
Yeah.
How old is Bogut?
It was his last season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was last season, and then he retired. But and he raved about Jayshon Tate, right? And so, and then I was going to say KJ Martin.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give the Rockets front office credit. I think they purchased that second round pick to get KJ Martin. Mm. I thought he was just going to be a guy with bounce, with hops, you know, dunker. That's it.
He's not bad.
Not bad. He's, you know, shooting 37% from three, which is a huge development. If he's able to do that for 82 games.
Kyrie Thomas.
Yeah, Kyrie Thomas. Yeah,
well, but that whole thing. I mean, if just you scored 27 in the game, let's give him a 3-year deal.
Right.
What? What? Wait, right. What?
Well, so I think they do those kinds of things just to, with the idea of intentionally, you know, eventually being able to flip them. And then the other, Armani Brooks. We're having Armani Brooks on the podcast tonight.
He
started out a little slow, and then he ended up shooting 38% from three. It was just nice because this team.
But realistically, you're building to win a championship. Every team builds to win a championship. Yeah. You're certainly not there now, so you can't. I don't think you can think championship now that in your build. You have to get to different stages. But who are guys that you see? Who are the five guys that you see as core? Are there five players that you believe can be core players? Like out of a top eight, an eight-man rotation. Do you believe you have five? Because remember, this is a team with a lot of losses.
Yeah.
Who do you think are the core players that you would build around?
So I think the core four, and I think Stone mentioned this in the press conference, is going to be Wood, Kevin Porter Jr. Obviously, you're hedging your bets there, hoping that works out.
Right.
And then Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin. I think that's
so you
like
think Jayshon's in there too.
I think Jayshon's, his basketball IQ is through the roof. Mm-hmm. He can guard positions 1 through 4, occasionally 5. He's just a smart, tough player.
Well, then let's not forget the top 4 pick too.
Right.
Well, yeah, but he's your Chuck. Like the Rockets have always had the Chuck Hayes, PJ Tucker.
There's always he's Draymond Green,
Shane Battier. There's always a glue guy. They always have a glue guy, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Though every and good team needs it.
He's on a team friendly deal. Like for what he does, it's team friendly. Now, what I think the Rockets have going on is basically the inverse of the Harden era. Right. In the Harden era, you had your horse, you had your franchise like star. They just didn't really build around him correctly. The 1 year they did, obviously, Chris Paul's hamstring blew out at the worst possible time, and it is what it is. But this new era moving forward is like the inverse. You have a bunch of role players. You have a bunch of ancillary guys, and you got Christian Wood, who could be a number two, who could be a number three. They're just looking for that horse. Now, they have the assets together, I think, to make that splash. It's just going to be a matter of good luck and timing. Who's going to get disgruntled? Who's going to ask out? You know, when are they going
to
become available?
Well, here's a problem, too, is do you have to win for Christian Wood to want to be here long term?
Well, they have his bird rights.
So. Yeah, but right. Well, obviously, but he might go, yeah, but I want to win.
Most players don't. Dell brought it up. The thing you look for now is do guys force their way out or try to force their way out so that they can have bird rights with another team?
I think Christian Wood has a lot to prove. And you know, sometimes guys just talk, who knows, but from when he speaks, it seems like he wants to build a winning culture in Houston. Who knows if that's subject to change? Things can change overnight, as we saw with the Rockets going from contending to worst team in the league. But I do think that, you know, the organization has shown faith in him. And I do know personally that a big factor in him coming to Houston was Steven Silas. And so I think that connection has some influence as well.
All right, it's 14 past on ESPN 97.5. Roosh Williams is with us here in studio. Noble and Roosh podcast on Apple. So if you want to find that, he's got all kinds of great guests. You could go back and listen to some great NBA talk. We'll talk about the playoffs on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench.
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 918 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We got Roosh Williams with us in studio, hanging out, talking about, we talked Rockets basketball. Now let's talk a little bit about the NBA. Now, last night, and how do you feel about the play-in? What do you think?
So far, so good. That one game, the rest of it's kind of stunk, but I like the idea in theory. I mean, it's the most excited that I've been for the first round of the playoffs, aside from like a Rockets team competing.
Yeah.
That's the most excited I've been about the first round in a while, I mean.
What do they think of LeBron in L.A.? I saw three baskets. I've got to wear a pirate patch.
Yeah, look.
Oh, he's such a drama.
I'll go on record. Michael Jordan is my favorite player of all time. He's my GOAT, and he just wouldn't say something like that.
No,
he says, you're LeBron. You don't need to say that. You don't need to say that. Come on.
And then he had people don't appreciate. I guess I don't score enough for. Stop, LeBron. But Jeannie Buss calling him one of the greatest Lakers ever is the dumbest thing ever.
Well, he is, though.
No, he's not.
But he's not the greatest. He's one of the greatest players of all time.
Most important Lakers of all time. He's not. He's not even close.
What if he wins the title?
It doesn't. He did win a title.
Well,
already.
No. I mean, what if he goes back to back and you start?
But he hasn't.
How many did
he hasn't though? Jerry West was left off that list. That's stupid. Jerry West as a general manager and as a
Jeannie
player.
Jeannie Buss doesn't remember Jerry West.
Yeah, she grew up with Jerry West.
She
Jerry
grew up
West
watching
was the
him play.
GM. He won championships.
Did she watch him play?
And so what? Should know. She should know about Jerry West.
She remembers he traded.
She's
for Kobe.
The Lakers' owner's daughter.
She remembers he traded for Kobe.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, come on.
When I think Lakers, I think Shaq, Kobe, Magic, Kareem.
Yeah.
Jerry West. It's weird because out in L.A., everyone loves Kobe. And you still have a large contingent of people that, like, yeah, they root for LeBron. He's on the Lakers. They want the Lakers to win. But he's just kind of like they're adopted. Like
at this point, he is a mercenary.
Right.
Like, he created his own mercenary role by going, once he went from Miami back to Cleveland to L.A., right now he is a mercenary. And L.A. is a very strong, like, that's a very strong sports culture. I'm not saying it's like New York or Boston where they're just – or Chicago or wherever, where they're just at a fevered pitch. But they got their own L.A. cool, like, you're one of us, you're one of us. LeBron's never going to be one of them because he doesn't embrace Tinseltown, Showtime. That's not who he is. He's something bigger. He didn't develop himself in his persona and brand or whatever you want to call it in L.A. It's already been pre-developed. Kobe was developed in L.A. Magic was developed in L.A. I mean, even guys like go all the way back to Fernando Valenzuela, who was loved. If you did it with the Dodgers or with the, or especially with the Lakers, I mean, you are beloved. LeBron's never going to be that wherever he goes.
Kwame Brown, the best Laker, says Oso Rojo. you need to have Kwame Brown on your podcast.
He's like the Kwame Brown stuff right now.
Man, that is just wild. I think it's incredibly entertaining. I mean, on one hand, like, I feel for the guy because he just gets bashed for being a bust. And I love the fact that he's just cutting through all the BS and just saying, hey, dude, you would never do any of that to my face. I dare you to. Like, I love that kind of stuff, especially to a guy like Matt Barnes and especially to a guy like Steven Jackson, who has kind of made a career on being the tough guy. To see them get punked is
that was
something.
It's a weird dynamic to Steven Jackson is one of the tough guys. Matt Barnes is no, I mean, it doesn't get much saltier than Matt Barnes.
Right.
He's one of the saltiest players under the radar that we've ever seen in the league. Like, he does want all the smoke. That's why it's a great podcast name, All the Smoke. That's what those guys want. And then the more I'm starting to learn about Kwame, it's like, oh, I didn't know Kwame comes from this background.
Kwame's latest video has him discussing why Matt Barnes had to jump over a fence at his own home to see his wife.
Well, can you play it?
No.
Oh.
It's Kwame saying things you cannot play. But the gist of it is, wait a minute, you're giving me advice? You drove, and this guy is in your home with your wife. You had to jump over your own fence to talk to her. Don't talk to me.
I love Kwame.
Yeah, Kwame Brown is one of those guys. I mean, obviously, I don't have a personal connection to him, but just what you hear through the grapevine is he's one of those guys you don't want to mess with. And those videos confirm that. He seems like he's definitely got some backwoods country in him, and he will meet you face-to-face in the flesh if you want. So I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah. No. Okay, so Lakers and so the Suns have a great, the best year they've had since forever. Dan Majerle was there. And so now they get the Lakers for it. I mean, that's what we get for it.
Yeah, I think, honestly, this whole season has just been weird because of everyone sitting out, because of COVID stuff going on. You know, like you just said, you got the Suns who had this amazing season, and now they got to draw the freaking Lakers. And you got the Jazz who are probably going to draw the Warriors. Look out for that. I think that's going to be an interesting series as well. I had the Suns as being one of the teams that could potentially give the Lakers fits in a series, but I didn't think they'd beat in the first round. But on the flip side of that, if you are the Suns, you eventually have to go through the Lakers,
yeah,
and you want to see them in the first round while they're still a little hobbled, a little, they don't have their feet under them quite as mm-hmm. well as you'd want.
Yeah.
So
I think I just think if Golden State wins, and I think they will, if they beat Memphis, that is a really dangerous matchup for Utah, because Utah is going to have, they're going to have to contend with a team that can spread them out and go small mm-hmm. and really make Rudy Gobert a potential non-factor. Yeah. And any time that you have a limited big, we just see in this era of basketball, they can be exploited.
And we have to talk about, you know, the fact that Donovan Mitchell hasn't played a game in how long? Now, you expect him to be healthy, but his first games back are playoff basketball when he hasn't played a competitive game in...
Well, LeBron...
I like them against
LeBron
Golden
had
State.
Something similar.
I'm not suggesting Utah wins or loses, but I would like to know how good Donovan Mitchell is in terms of health. I mean, when you sit out, because, look, they had things clinched practically. They could have lost the one seed down the stretch. I mean, so clearly this injury was a big enough deal that they didn't even want to get him a couple games back so he can get himself back into some form of basketball shape. He's not going to be in basketball shape. So I think it may give maybe the Warriors a chance to steal a game early. I do like Utah in that one.
Well, what could end up hurting the Warriors is that, I mean, we saw the game last night. It looked like both teams were going max speed. So they're going to be a little tired. They got to play another game. So they'll probably have some fatigue. But don't forget, the Warriors have, I think, the fifth best defensive rating in the league this season.
Yeah, they defend.
Right? They play defense. They kind of remind me of the Rockets team from 14-15 that had the seventh best defense with not like that much talent around James Harden. But they got Curry. If there's one guy that could potentially render Gobert ineffective going small, it's Draymond.
Well, look at what they did last night to Anthony Davis.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, but that's kind of selfish.
LeBron looked terrible.
Yeah, but you made a point about this. Actually, Roosh made this point on Twitter. If you're going to keep going with Andre Drummond at the five, and you're not going to put, I'm like, that's a self check. And no, as we call it on the court,
it's an Anthony Davis thing. He doesn't like playing center. The numbers came out. I think he was one.
But you can still put him at the five,
but he doesn't want
per se.
It. One, I think he was 1-for-11 or something when Montrez or Drummond was on the court, and 9-for-11 when they were off the court, when he was actually playing the five. It's a thing he doesn't want to do. We've talked about this before.
I know.
He's going to have to do it when it matters, but when he doesn't think it matters, he doesn't like playing the five. They're much better, and he's much better playing the five.
And if they are going to play a traditional five, they're much better suited playing Marc Gasol over Andre Drummond. I think Andre Drummond is a waste on that team unless you need him to, you know, match up against someone specific.
It's weird that you talk about him. I mean, a guy who can grab boards, who can physically match up with bigger guys, but there's so few teams that you what
he just doesn't move. I mean, his
Utah,
feet.
It's just you're not going to have to. Yeah, Andre Drummond is not the same player now that he was so, 3 years ago.
So is there any? What's the intrigue in the East? Can Philly give the Nets?
Yeah, I mean,
I think Miami and the Bucks have some intrigue. I don't know why people sleep on Miami again this year.
Does that even matter with the Nets in the East?
I think Milwaukee made the right upgrades. We just got to see if it actually works in the playoffs. Their whole thing was when it comes down to them needing a bucket, they can't get it, right? Giannis ain't that guy. He's not the guy to put the ball in his hands and create and get you like those buckets. Is Drew Holiday that guy? I don't know. Chris Middleton can occasionally be that guy, but they got some better role players around them. They're still top 10 offense, defense. They've been that for the last couple seasons. We'll see. I think the East, I think Philly's going to the conference finals simply because they're going to draw the 8 seed, and then they're going to play the winner of the Knicks and the Hawks. And then it's just going to come down to how much chemistry matters for Brooklyn. They had the best offense in the league, Brooklyn did. And, you know, their big three barely played together. Kevin Durant barely played. So that's kind of scary if you're their opponent. They had, I think, the 22nd best defense. So that's their question mark. But are you going to be able to outscore Brooklyn? we'll see. And then another thing is, and kind of looping it back to the Rockets, I'm glad the Rockets did not get Ben Simmons, because we're going to see if Ben Simmons is able to fix his flaws of the past. You know, he puts up some stinkers in the playoffs sometimes. Mm-hmm. He can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And when teams scheme around the fact that you can't do one thing and they force you to do it, so we're going to see what happens. But I do think Philly's going to the conference finals. I think it's going to be Milwaukee and Brooklyn. But before the season, man, I had Lakers-Nets, and I had Lakers winning it all. So
You still feel good about the Lakers
James,
right now?
They got James since then.
I'm sorry. Yeah. When I say before the season, I mean after the trade. I apologize.
So do you still feel good about the Lakers right now?
I do, man. Like,
who's number two to you in the West?
In the West, the Clippers.
That's what I feel like. I want to say Suns, but I can't. I want to say Jazz, but I can't. I keep coming back to the same two, Lakers and Clippers.
I think Ibaka is going to be big for them. They were missing a guy like Ibaka, and it might be cliche, stereotypical, but I think Rondo's going to make a difference. They have missed a guy that can handle the ball, create, penetrate, and also guard on the perimeter. Also guard on the perimeter, because Patrick Beverley can only guard on the perimeter. He can't do the offensive creating that they need. But I think Rondo makes those heady veteran plays. He's been there. He's done that. He's kind of that like extra bulldog that they've been missing. So we'll see. I would have had Denver before Jamal Murray went down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Aaron Gordon addition.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then with Jamal out, you just can't see him going that far.
Yeah.
But with Jamal, I really could have seen this could have been the year for Denver. I've forgotten all about him being Michael out because Porter that's Jr. why I was like, this is the year they've been building towards this where they get stronger and more confident. And now without Jamal, it's just going to be really hard, I think.
But I mean, no matter how you slice it, you can love him, you can hate him, you can get into the specifics. But the fact of the matter is, LeBron James goes to the finals. I mean, he just goes to the finals. The one season that they didn't make the playoffs is the exception. But when he's in the playoffs, he hasn't missed the finals in a decade. So it's just hard to bet against that. Even last night, I don't know if you saw me tweet it, you know, they were down, the Lakers were down 55-42, and everyone's saying, oh my God, this, that. But you just know LeBron's going to turn it on, and you know when he does that, he's going to get the calls, and he's going to, you know, fall down and grab his eye and try to get someone ejected or whatever. So it's just hard
fall
to bet against
that. Grab his eye.
It's hard to bet against that until I see it. Because every time I rationalize in my head, like, yo, this isn't the year it happens. It's like the Spurs, man. Everyone said, oh, they're too old. It ain't happening. And then they did it, and then they kept doing it.
And that was after they got punked by a young, quick, athletic Oklahoma City team the year before. And I remember thinking, it's over for the Spurs. It's officially over. They're too slow. They're not athletic enough. And then the next year. Like,
all right, 9:30, Roosh Williams. Man, we appreciate it. Noble and Roosh. It's on Apple Podcast. You want to hear it. You got who's coming up?
Tonight we're talking to Armani Brooks. It's not live, so we record, and then we'll release that next week. Armani Brooks of the Rockets. You can follow me on Twitter, R-O-O-S-H Williams, Roosh Williams. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it. Great stuff. Roosh Williams right here, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, well, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 934, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number. People calling, I'm getting having a little talk here. The trade of Chris Paul was the dumbest thing ever. I got to talk to Tillman about this. It was untenable. It was, they hated each other. James and Chris Paul hated each other, would refuse to play together. You don't get rid of him, get rid of me. I'm not showing up. James did this with Kevin McHale. He did this with Dwight Howard. He did this with Chris Paul. He did this with Russell Westbrook. And then he did it with the Rockets.
Well,
they placated him every step of the way, and he got worse and worse and worse until he finally turned on the hand that fed him.
Didn't we hear that? I thought it was Russ found out that James wanted out. So Russ was like, you're not going to leave me stuck here. Get me out of here.
No,
too.
It was they couldn't. James just didn't have any respect for Chris Paul the second year because Chris Paul was not the same player. And Chris Paul would tell him what to do on the court. And James was like, James just disrespected him because of how his game fell off that year and that he wouldn't shut up. And he kept, you know, James was like, uh-uh. And Chris Paul wasn't all about James travels to the Bahamas on an off day.
Well, we knew that. I think Russ actually had issues with the professionalism of the team as well.
Yes.
He even publicly said it.
Yes.
So I think he wanted gone and James wanted gone and like they both wanted out and then
but they always placated James.
And the Rockets certainly were like, we'll trade Russ if we can find a spot for you. We'll trade you. But James, we would love you to stay. And James was like, oh, no, I'm going to make sure. I'm going to torpedo this thing so I can get out of here. And, yeah, they placated the star. Look, Daryl Morey tied himself to James, and we understand why. He took this team to new heights. But there's always the threat that you're backing the wrong type of star, that this guy at some point, because if he doesn't win, then that's one way it's wrong. And the other way is he's going to demand things you don't really want to give, but you're going to have to.
Yeah, well, and once you give them, that's it.
Well,
you're locked in.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Especially if you have a weak head coach, and even if you had a stronger head coach.
D'Antoni was a weak.
Yeah, but he was also the right kind of X's and O's coach.
No,
for
he was
James
perfect.
The
yeah,
offense. But if you had a strong head coach, it wouldn't have gone any better. I got news for you. There would have been a public spat, and that coach would have
you would have
publicly
to have
whacked.
Well, the problem is you needed a strong GM. Like a GM that tells
yeah.
you,
yeah.
no,
I, mean, honestly,
I don't care
Daryl
what.
Daryl just gave it, or strong ownership to say, absolutely not.
We were talking about LeBron a lot, and I always bring it up because he was on my team, as John talked about. They struggled opening up with LeBron, and they were 9-8, and there were some thoughts that LeBron wanted Spoelstra out here. You know, O'Reilly said, no, figure it out. You're signed to us. And this before the in-contract player movement became a big deal. He said, hey, nothing. I'm not firing Eric Spoelstra. Figure it out. And obviously they went on to figure it out. I don't know if Daryl Morey ever had that conversation with James Harden. Probably didn't. So you want a strong coach, you need a strong GM with a backbone who says, this is our guy, figure it out. Nothing. We're not trading him, we're not trading you, we're not firing him. This is the way it's going to be, now go play. I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah. 937 ESPN, 97.5, 713-780, 3776. Enough Rockets talk. Goodness gracious. I mean, we spent how long?
What do you want to talk about?
On the 17-win team.
How about Zach Greinke?
Yeah.
How about the masterful yeah. performance by a guy that I've never doubted?
Well, it's an interesting, Zach Greinke and Cameron Tringale.
Whoever that is. That's an interesting theory you're putting out there or narrative you're putting out there. Enough Rockets. Don't you control how the show goes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then why
yeah,
did you want
because you're out of control. That's all you want to talk about. Rockets,
excuse
Rockets,
me.
Rockets, Rockets, Rockets. You're the producer.
I want to talk Rockets?
You're the producer.
Who brought on Roosh Williams?
Lance.
All right,
was
then.
Roosh good?
Yeah, but don't talk about too much Rockets when you were
Rockets. Worst team ever.
You guys,
did we talk about the Astros like this when they were losing 100 games? No.
You guys missed out on something. I got word that Roosh and Joel got into it at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Roosh told me that when he was leaving. He goes, yeah, I had some Twitter beef with him, some cash money stuff. I'm
what?
Like,
catch me if you can?
I said,
catch me outside?
No, I said, Joel had beef with, what's his name? Josh Ennis as well. Everything's it's all good. It's no problem.
What was their beef? I want to know.
I don't know. Probably
I like it. I
want to
talk about it on the air.
Just arguing about Rock.
It was Rocket
you want
related.
That? You want Joel to hear you bringing that up?
I don't care. I don't ever see him. I don't care.
I don't know. It's just something Rockets related. They just argued about Rocket stuff, I guess.
Well,
not as salacious as you think.
I like
it's
it.
It's not Kwame Brown.
Do the show!
And Becky with the good hair. It's not that.
It's not do the show?
No, no one got caught. Well,
it's not
nobody got
waves.
The B word?
No, I don't think so.
It's not finger waves.
Nobody caught a B word. Well, then that's not that good.
By the way, I'm trying to find, I can't find anywhere where you can
fun.
See. Where can you find pitch count per inning? Where can I find Zach Greinke's pitch count per inning post fact?
Oh, man, you are really in numbers.
Well, I mean,
guy.
You see it. Yeah, well, I'm interested to see how many pitches he actually threw.
You can break it down on
where I'm looking at play by play. It doesn't
play
show.
Pitch by pitch.
No, it doesn't have play by play.
Are you on ESPN's?
Yeah, ESPN play by play. It just says they were out. Has the score and just says how he got out. Wait, if maybe if I, oh no, never mind. If you go to each individual player,
yeah,
never mind. That's how you do it. You can hit it, and it yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna find okay. out. So you got. Let's see. I'll just look this up.
And Greinke threw 89 right through eight innings. Maybe his best, not his most important performance, but maybe his best performance as an Astro, as far as efficiency and getting through a game. Astros went 8-1, a half game behind the A's in the AL West. Got a chance to take over the division lead tonight.
They absolutely do. 17 pitches in the first inning. Why? What are you looking for? How efficient he was?
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean he was spectacular. It was the best that no other than Game 7. And listen, the importance of Game 7 of the World Series obviously beats this. And how good he was! That was the best performance, Zach Greinke. AJ blew it. AJ was AJ was terrible.
48 pitches. He threw 48 pitches from inning 4 through 8. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 5 innings, 44 pitches.
48. You just said
twice. Oh, no. Did I say 48 or 44? Yeah. Yeah.
48.
I mean, he threw less than 10 pitches on average per inning. There were some innings. It's just unbelievable how efficient he was. And they tried to hit pitchers' pitches. He didn't leave out. He didn't leave the ball. He was nibbling on the edges on the bottom of the strike zone and on the outside corners of the strike zone the whole game. Like, he was. When Zach Greinke, and he threw 93 miles an hour twice. I think it was twice. That's basically unheard of for Zach Greinke at this particular stage. Zach Greinke just doesn't do that.
No. that was awesome. Greinke was awesome. Yuli was awesome. Can't be prouder of the Pena. You know, he bounced back from the racist chants in New York. And he's been, and so, you know, he is a testament to what you can do when you turn your life around.
Turn his life around?
Yeah, he turned his life around.
How so?
I mean, from those days when he used to do that stuff with his eyes.
I thought we were attributing his performance to weight loss. Now he's had a life-changing experience?
Yes, yes. He turned his life around.
So you're saying Yuli
did the work, Dale.
Was
what?
A racist
you don't
at
like
some
that
point?
He did the work?
Are we saying Yuli was a racist at
no,
some
he,
point?
That's what
in
Yankee
his world,
fans were saying.
Well, we don't care
in
what
his
they world,
say.
He said Chinito. No, Dodger fans.
No, Yankees fans were chanting it in New York.
But Dodger
racist.
Fans actually had
no Yankee
the player
fans in New
he
York.
Called
they
Chinito,
were chanting.
Which is Chinito
that,
means
we talked
is
about
an actual.
It. We were talking about it because Yankee fans, the people who beat up Asians
that's right.
in New York.
They're
yeah.
the ones that are chanting racist.
Like, there's like 1,000 videos of y'all beating down Asian people in the street, but
yeah.
But all of a sudden that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even that. Yeah, well, saying Chinito is not that big a deal inside the culture of
the
Spanish speaking culture. Yeah, the I thing was
the I thing was the issue.
Not the I think it was a little much.
Not the word
like,
he said.
Oh, he's gonna do the other Coke thing.
Yeah. Don't
that.
Do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Look at making putts. Way to go.
It's just,
that's
isn't
a promo.
Thing, John.
What do you that's not live?
John's gonna move the chair so he can
you put the chair right in the way of me watching Dustin Johnson hit shots. Okay.
Bunch of no-name guys at the top of the leaderboard.
Look at this. What? Noon right here on ESPN. Right here. You know what we should do?
What?
We should do golf play-by-play on the radio.
Who do you want Joel doing that?
No, I want the golf there's a golf channel on the radio on Sirius.
You want that on this station?
On this station.
You know how broadcast
I wish we
works,
were doing
right?
it right now.
You're aware how broadcast rights work? You just can't pull.
We could take it. We absolutely could make an agreement with him.
Why could? Oh yeah, but we don't have it now.
No. Well, we should. That's why AJ beat it. Go to Las Vegas. Out of here.
You think AJ beat it. Go to Las Vegas. Yeah. So you can start playing golf on the radio.
Yeah, so we can.
That's
play.
The worst. Stay, AJ.
Yeah.
Quit that so you can keep that from happening.
Beat
no
it, AJ.
Golf, but
you
golf
make decisions
on the
like not playing the PGA Championship on the radio, then that's just dumb.
Is he a worse decision?
You should go to LA and do a podcast instead of running a radio.
Well,
station.
Well, he's going to Vegas to do that. We always had the baseline of Deshaun being the worst decision maker. Is AJ now a worse decision maker than AJ?
Worst decision maker for what exactly?
For not picking up the PGA Championship all day and today and tomorrow.
We wouldn't have to do. You know
and
what?
Saturday and
actually,
Sunday.
I'm with you on that one. Because I never, you know, other shows.
You could already
get off,
be on the way, your way to 9 hour ride, your ride today.
Other shows get off for basketball and baseball games and all that stuff, right? In the afternoon.
Right.
What can you possibly get off a show in the morning for? There's no sport
well,
other than golf.
Well, I think there was, did we pick up the Masters 1 year or something?
No.
You better hope for
the NCAA tournament, maybe? But
no,
that was 11.
No, that's 11.
You better hope
no,
for
no,
like,
I think we did it 1 year for the British Open.
You took days off for the British Open?
I would.
There's no way.
Of course you would.
I think it should be a holiday in America.
I got time off one time at 790 for when the Rockets were playing in China, and we had to cover those games.
Yeah.
Like, we had to cover preseason basketball.
So you'd have off.
And Chinese, they're like, oh, my gosh, we don't have to come in until, like,
John, you speak Spanish.
2 hours later.
If you work for a Spanish language sports station, you might miss a morning show for a World Cup game in another country.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you have to look forward to, work yeah. towards.
Gosh,
Spanish
so
language
awesome.
Radio.
Why don't we do it here? AJ, beat it.
Well,
the we World need Cup. A. You know what? When the World Cup comes up, we need to be off.
Well, it'll be in this country, so we won't. No, it'll be in 20. When's the World Cup? What?
2026.
2026.
22 is the next one.
But that's in Qatar, I guess.
Yeah. So it'll be in the morning.
And you think the whoever is running this place is
yeah.
going to give you days off?
Yeah.
In case what
if, you're too stupid to run a station if you don't do it.
Okay. All right.
9:46 ESPN. 97.
Yeah, the bitch will see why you could never be a program director with. You're like, somebody needs to be fired for not carrying this golf in the morning.
I already was a program director. Look how long it lasted.
Yeah, the bitch won't air today because Algeria is playing South Korea in the World Cup.
We preempt this edition of the bench.
South Korea and Algeria
versus the Netherlands, right here.
Yeah.
All right, we're done. We're done in this segment, and we're gonna say goodbye to Lance. You don't want to miss that.
It's not a thing that you point forward to.
It is.
I think people enjoy that. He's right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Totally sweet today. Bryson DeChambeau, you know, he's known for putting on all that weight and strength and hitting it long. But he's also known for how technical he is and how he uses math and everything for in his golf game. He's got a shirt that's got little dumbbells on it, little dumbbells, and then like E=MC² and all kinds of that. You know what? You know, that's self-awareness, Lance. That's what that is. That's what that's all about. That's just self-awareness. Cameron Trigale, Matt Jones, and Van Ruyen are all tied for the lead at 3 under at the PGA Championship. Colin Morikawa at 2 under. Way to go, Colin Morikawa. And I'm going to give Will credit. He made me take Morikawa. And look, right there at the top.
Have you paid any attention to what Showtime is doing sports-wise?
No.
They just signed, I think, a couple. So Matt Barnes has some kind of deal in the works with them, a separate deal. They've got the All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. They've officially purchased that. And the latest thing is Jake Paul, the YouTuber-turned prize fighter, has a deal in place for his next boxing match to be distributed by Showtime Sports. Paul's advisor, Nikisa Badarian, told ESPN on Wednesday, Paul's team and Showtime are in advanced talks about the potential opponent, date, and location. A network source confirmed the news. Paul had previously been associated with upstart Triller Fight Club. And then they tell more about Jake Paul. Showtime, as a boxing broadcast partner, has boasted fighters such as Floyd Mayweather and Gervonta Davis, as well as Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, in prior years. Showtime also airs Bellator MMA. Sources told ESPN that Showtime's deal with Paul is for more than one fight. So it's interesting. Showtime is getting into the idea of, all right, let's take a growing digital platform, which is podcasting, and let's go get one of the hottest podcasts out there in All the Smoke. Then let's go take a YouTuber you know, another growing market, which is the YouTube market and the TikTok and YouTube celebrity. And let's go get our hands on one of the Paul brothers. And I got to tell you, I mean, those guys know how to sell fights. They know how to create. I mean, they're masters of creating, of creating moments. I mean, you went in with, you upstaged Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather does that for a living, although Floyd Mayweather's now saying he'll fight both of them in the same day. And then, of course, one of the Paul brothers shot back, you have a grandchild. What are you talking about? You can't fight both of us. You have grandkids. Mm-hmm. They immediately put, he goes, yeah, that's right. I got grandkids. They put, he goes, you're 43 and have grandkids. You can't fight us, Grandpa. It's hard to out-trash talk Ben Askren, who is a decent trash talker. He got obliterated in the pre-fight hot lead up by one of the whoever the Paul brother. I get them mixed up. But Showtime, that's pretty smart, because whatever the Paul brothers do, you're going to they're going to create a need for eyes. They're going to create eyes that want to see what they're doing. Whether you hate them or not, it doesn't matter. Like or hate, you're going to be watching what they do, especially if you want them to get knocked out or to lose. Did you see, is it Jake box the Gronkowskis? Did you see that?
No.
He fought four of Gronkowski brothers. They each, he did one round with each of them, and he beat them up. The Gronkowskis are not small. Now, not Rob. Rob didn't do it. But the other Gronkowskis, who are a bunch of meatheads, basically physically built like that, and, I mean, you know, they're Gronkowskis. I mean, you know what that means. I just say, he's a Gronkowski. You know what that means.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Logan Paul, I think it was, he was like, embarrassing them. They were done. They were ready to get out of the ring with them. And it was round after round after round after round. So I think Showtime, pretty smart by Showtime to be in on the new wave of how you go about it. Here's another sports story that I want to get to. It's weird. Seven medical professionals have been charged with simple homicide with eventual intent in the death of Diego Maradona. The prosecutor's office in San Isidro, Argentina, which opened an investigation into the Argentinian legend's death, have requested to the judge that those individuals indicted not be permitted to leave the country. If found guilty, those accused could face between 8 and 25 years in prison. Maradona died at age 60, November 25th, 2020, from heart failure. Leopoldo Lugue, the neurosurgeon who performed a successful brain operation on Maradona, and psychiatrist Augustina Kosachov, who treated the former Napoli star, are among the seven individuals charged. Two have denied any wrongdoing. Audio of private conversations between doctors and people from Maradona's entourage were leaked to the media and have indicated that Maradona was not being properly looked after prior to his death. Families demanded justice. And the prosecutor's office appointed a medical board to determine if there was evidence of culpable homicide from Maradona's medical team. The bond revealed in a report that the medical team who attended Maradona prior to his death acted in an inappropriate, deficient, and reckless manner.
Hmm. Huh. That is, that's bad for Diego Maradona. He, I don't know. He was failing health though, wasn't he? I
mean, yeah, but they're saying he shouldn't have died.
He shouldn't have died.
That's right.
Dude lived it. He lived.
The toxicology report detected no alcohol or illegal substance. Oh, he was a big coke guy. Gained a bunch of weight, then had the stomach procedure. I mean, on Diego's 60 years or like 90 years for everyone else. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you can blame anybody for that. Dude lived hard.
You don't want him to get another
should all live. That's how we should all. You know what? Let's be the best we can be, but let's party while we're doing it. Okay? All right? Let's make sure that every day we live to the fullest.
I can't listen to you. Your advice. Can't take that advice.
I don't take his advice.
You know, by the
seriously.
Way, while everybody else was sleeping, he was John up Daly. All night doing coke. You
he's
think he wasted
thinks,
time? No.
He's the one who thinks
sleeping
John,
like you? No.
John Daly is making sleep. Good decisions.
John Daly makes the best decisions. Oh, do you have two majors? No. Thank you.
I also don't have gout.
Right. Well. Right. Well.
John Daly's got more than just gout,
and
I would
liver
assume.
Issues.
Yeah. I haven't had to go in and have any kind of, you know, drips done to try to keep my liver working properly. I don't know if he has or not, but it's not a bad guess.
Yeah.
Do you think John Daly's people just have adrenaline shots ready for him just in case?
Yes.
He's 100%. Like, and they have to go shoot it right into his leg for him to save him.
Well, and they got to get it through those pants. I mean,
he's got some.
And which is, that's not something anybody wants to do. And nobody wants to see you keep blinded by those pants. So anyway, well, that's a nice story, Lance.
Yeah, thanks for bringing down the show before you leave.
Neat stuff.
And? What's my story? My story is that Diego Maradona,
that
doctors may have killed him and nurses.
That's not great.
Uplifting when you're leaving.
Yeah.
You're leaving town. I mean, goodness.
Oh, yeah, you're not even working tomorrow, are you?
Yeah, he's going to be here.
Oh, he is? Okay.
He's going to be here.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's not the day he's taking off?
I was going to, but not now because I am a warrior. I am someone who fights hard for this work and who loves this job and who will do everything he can for the people.
I prefer this song.
You hover above, rain hell below. Killing them hogs real nice and slow. I'm Brett Myers going to throw that gas down around your knees, put you on your ass. Ah!
I prefer that song.
Rebels.
I do like it. The thing where I go, yeah. I just assume that's what Brett Myers would do.
Yeah.
Did he throw a no-hitter? Is he an Astro whoever threw a no-hitter?
No.
Well, you sure?
No, Brett Myers didn't throw a no-hitter.
Are you sure?
He probably...
He threw other things.
Yeah, he threw his wife around.
No, he didn't throw no hitters, though.
No, he didn't throw no hitters. That was one of the biggest jerks ever for the Astros.
Uh-huh. And they had Sean Chacon on the team.
Sean Chacon choking out. Sean
choked the GM, yeah, Ed Wade. And he was only like third on the list. Mitch Molusky's two. Brett Myers a clear number one.
Well, yeah, but you also had...
Julio Lugo.
Julio Lugo was another one that had issues. And the, what the hell? Gosh, the Giants second baseman that came here.
Jeff Kidd?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was an a-hole, too.
Yeah, he's an a-hole, but not like Brett Myers is a car kid. Brett Myers has some domestic violence as a bad
guy. Yeah.
Sean Chacon choked the GM because I don't think he liked the ice cream bars that were here.
No, I don't
think Mitch Molusky had to get in a fight with his own teammates because they said, you're a punk-ass rookie.
Sean Chacon choked Ed Wade because he wanted drumsticks instead of ice cream sandwiches?
Yeah. That's the word on the streets.
What streets?
People are saying that.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing another word on the street.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa. That's out there on the streets?
Yeah.
The streets are ugly.
Yeah.
Them streets are ugly.
That's why we call them streets.
All right, Lance is done. We'll talk to him tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.
But first, Lance
is going to talk about Craig DeCerf.
Well, so Craig DeCerf is he's the guy that runs Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMCs. You can go to LanceZCars.com. I'm going to go there right now. And when you go there, you can look into specific vehicles. They've got all the different programs available right there on the front page for you to check into. The best way for you to find out, though, is simply talk to somebody with the sales staff. Go out there. You're not going to spend all day out there. That's never the case. Whether it's about service, whether you're purchasing, they don't want you out there all day long. They know you've got stuff to do. So if you're out there shopping for a vehicle and you want to get something done, they'll do everything that they can to work with you to make you feel great about the experience, to find the vehicle that you are looking for. And they understand you can buy Chevy Silverado someplace else. You can buy the Buick Encore someplace else. You can buy the GMC Acadia or Yukon. But the reason I think you're going to go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton is because the prices are going to be better, the trade-in value is going to be better, and the sales staff is going to be much more relaxed than any place you go. And that matters to me. I don't want a bunch of hustlers running up on you, trying to bum rush you as soon as you open your door at a dealership. I don't speak for that kind of company. I speak for Craig DeCerf, and I speak for Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. To look at their entire inventory in stock, simply go to LanceZCars.com.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun. Sports.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.